Lucas.
Lammy.
Wilson.
Ooh.
So oh, I like it. I think I like it.
Just the actual last name?
Yeah, we've been talking the last couple of weeks because your name is Amanda.
It is.
People call you Mandy.
Most.
I don't.
Which I did not realize.
I call you Manda most of the time when I'm talking.
But no. What? You don't. You call me Babes.
Yeah, well, Babes, Amanda. When I'm talking about you to someone.
You say?
I say Mandy.
Oh, okay.
And I type Mandy as well.
Okay.
Which is weird.
That's pretty weird.
And then I feel like.
Stop talking about me.
Yeah. I don't call you Mandy because you're my friend and everyone calls you Mandy. So I need a different friend name for you because you're actually my bestest friend.
Need her.
So it needs to be a different special name. So I'm trying on different stuff this week.
Try it on. See if it fits.
See if it fits.
And I want to know, because I call you Lammy, if that's where that came from, if you're like, because no one else calls you Lammy.
Yeah.
So if you're like, well, you've got a pet name for me.
Yeah, that no one else uses. Yeah. So I need my own for you.
Will you get mad if other people call you Lammy?
No, I think I like, Josh calls me Lamb.
Yeah.
I like it.
You like it.
Also, because when we got married, I didn't change my name. So I feel like it's like a fuck you.
Yeah.
To the patriarchy,
fuck,
you know.
Fuck you, Normans.
Very funny.
Yeah, Wilson.
Yeah. Wilson, yeah. I think I like it. We'll roll it for another couple of days and see.
See how it feels.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very spread out right now.
That's okay.
I'm okay with it. We have a story that you would like to kick off with.
Yeah.
Because we had our
baby left.
Our baby left today. She officially.
She just landed in New Zealand, actually.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, so excited. Little fucker. Left her family.
So. For those who don't come to the gym or those who maybe are new, our baby is Han. She's was so weird, one of the coaches here, and she's been here since she was a toddler, basically. Like
15 years old.
She's basically
a toddler.
And so I feel like we've just been around for all of her first things, like her 18th, the first time she kissed a boy, the first time she went out and got drunk, like her license, just so many things that we've been around for, and now she's got a boyfriend. She's left the fucking country. And so the last
today,
she's gone skis. The last couple of days have been quite funny in that she's trying to pack up her life and leave. But she's not a very good adult yet because we've done everything for her. It's our fault.
We didn't teach her. We just did it for her.
Parenting 101. Anyway, she was packing the other day and I don't know why I messaged. I just think I just messaged to see how she was doing. And she sent me a video of all the shit she was trying to pack. And in the corner of the video was a pile of towels. So she was already struggling to fit all of her clothes in her suitcase.
Just a quick interjection. Yeah. Tiny suitcase.
I didn't realize it was a tiny suitcase until Mandy went over to try and help her. And then I was like, mate, you don't need to take towels with you to New Zealand. Like, they're going to have towels over there. She's like, what if we can't get to a shop? And I was like, you can survive one day without a towel. Like, it'll just be one night. You'll be okay. But also in the pile of towels was a fucking bath mat. She does not use it. It's a well-known fact around here that her bathroom floor is disgusting because she doesn't use her bath mat.
Did you say there was four towels?
I think there was four towels plus a bath mat.
So four towels for her and Quinn.
Yep.
Just the two of them that share a fucking towel.
Yes.
Anyway.
And don't use a bath mat.
They share a towel, one towel, and they were going to take four.
So I told you to ask her how it was going because you were going over there and you interjected, thankfully, got her a normal size suitcase.
Well, we were just going to hang out, me, her and Callie, because Callie's on school holidays. So last hangout day with the little kid. And then Callie just wanted to see her roommate's dog for one last time. Mm-hmm. So we just went to her place and I was like, show me your bedroom. Show me the shit show. And she's like, oh, don't, you know, like just to hear, just like, don't go any further. And I was like, is that your suitcase? That you're packing your whole life into that tiny, tiny little bag. I was like, okay.
And now it's 90% full of towels.
And I was like, okay, let's go. My house, you've taken my suitcase.
Ooh, she's like, no, it's okay. No, I don't.
I was like, just shut up and just come to my house.
Get the car.
And then I don't even know how it happened, but she's like, what do I do with this one? I was like, give it to me. So I have a suitcase, you asshole. You can swap. We're swapping suitcases.
Fuck's sake.
And then I sent Candace the photo of the two suitcases
next to each other. I didn't realize how tiny it was.
Yeah.
And then last night, so the night before she leaves, so we hung out again yesterday, said our goodbyes, and I messaged her because she hadn't packed yet. So she has to move out of her place, have it all cleaned, be packed and gone yesterday. This was 5 p.m. yesterday. We're still packing.
Really quick. A question of the day, when, how far in advance do you pack? She said a week.
Yeah, she lied.
She lied. She straight lied.
Yeah. 5 p.m. yesterday. I said, mate, how's it going? Do you need some help? She sent me back a picture of her suitcase, the big suitcase now, that still wouldn't close because there was so much stuff in it. Towels had been taken out, thanks to you. And I zoomed in on the picture and there's a fucking Nutribullet.
Like a big one.
Like an actual proper size Nutribullet in the suitcase.
Strapped in on the side.
And I was like, what the fuck? And then she, before I could, I just wrote back laughing because there's a fucking Nutribullet in your suitcase. And she wrote back, I need to take it. That cost me $100. So she has taken a Nutribullet to New Zealand.
And then Candace messaged it to me that she's taken a Nutribullet. So then I needed to get this information and make fun of her myself. Yeah. So then I text her, said, how's packing going? She sent me the same photo. And I was like, I hope one of the things you've taken out is that $20 Nutribullet. And she wrote back, it's $100. And I said, it's going to be so helpful on those real steamy, hot, oh, wait. You're going to New Zealand. Buy a new one.
In the summer, you've got 6 months to save. Jesus, fuck. And then, sorry, last story to do with this. I was like, okay, does Quinn have any space in his bag? Like, we're trying to problem solve to see if we could fit any more shit in. I was like, have you got a carry-on? She's like, yep, that's already weighs 7 kilos. I can't get anything else in. I was like, okay, what about Quinny's bag? He's as full as well. Like, okay. She's like, he's taking his hiking bag. I was like, okay, like plus his suitcase. She's like, no, that's his suitcase. That's his bag. I was like, okay. She's like, so he can fit 20 kilos in there. And I was like, okay, so you can't fit all your stuff in. You've got a tiny little suitcase and a hiking bag and you're trying to move your whole life in. It's just so ridiculous.
And up until this point, Candace, you know, she was confident.
I was like, this would be so good for her. We've done everything for her up until this point. Literally, like, told her how to have conversations with people.
Taught her how to shake hands, look people in the eye. Everything.
Scripted out conversations.
Absolutely. Actual scripts.
Yeah.
Poor Han. We love you, Han.
We do love you very much. But I messaged Mandy last night. I was like, I don't think she's going to make it without us. She's going to survive.
And then I responded because I know, Quinny, I know you're listening, Quinn. I know you.
Hey, Quinny.
I know you love this podcast, Quinny. Because Quinny isn't a fucking adult either. There's two young souls lost in the wilderness of New Zealand. So we're nervous. No, you guys are doing great.
You're going to be great. Cannot wait to hear the stories.
Oh,
it's going to be
great.
Can
you make sure you guys write them down? Like, I want written down step by step. Like, because the other thing is, Han's not very great at telling stories. No. So she's going to have to, she's going to have to write them down for us.
Yep.
See you, babe.
It's been a week.
have a great life. We're excited for you.
Yep. So that's that. That's what's been happening, really.
Yeah. Yep. That's I'm trying to think, but that summed it up pretty perfectly.
Wow, 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 wow. And then I told the class that story this morning. For the 6:40 class. And then I forgot to ask question of the day because I'd talked so much already. And I started briefing the workout. And Briggs goes, oi, 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 wait. And I was like, what? What's wrong? And she's like, you didn't do question of the day. And that's the only reason I'm here.
Whoa, snap. Like,
whoa, okie dokie. So very sorry about that, Briggs. Thank you for letting me know.
You know why Briggsy trains.
Yeah, very funny. All right. What are we actually talking about today?
We're
actually talking about... It's sick season over here in Australia.
Sick season.
Everyone's fucking sick.
Is that what people call it? We do now.
What to do when you have been sick and you're coming back to the gym?
Flu, colds, COVID, all the things.
All of the things. Because we've both been very sick recently.
Yeah. Are you 100%?
No. No, ma'am.
You're definitely not 100%. I'm still not 100%.
Yeah.
It's been
a month. Did you know that?
It's been a month.
Yeah.
And let's kick off with, well, we talked about it in the last one that we've been sick, but you had COVID. I did not. I'm a beacon of health.
Yeah.
And I am unable to catch the disease. I know everyone thinks I had a random listener message me and say that I definitely had COVID. It is not what I had because the test said. Anyway, doesn't matter.
COVID, not COVID.
I had the flu. I had the flu. Candace got the COVID. I won. And so we both were pretty sick with relatively different symptoms as well. Not joking. I think we both had the same amount of time off training.
I came back before you. I came back 2 days earlier than you did.
You were sick 2 days earlier. You were sick 2 days earlier.
Not a competition. I'm just saying.
We had the same amount of time
saying.
Off. Which was approximately a week and a half.
Yep. So we went to Torian, got sick on the Monday, Tuesday, but I was kind of sick over the weekend.
Yeah.
And then we had that whole following week off work.
I got sick on Wednesday.
Yeah. And I didn't train again until the following Thursday.
I was Saturday.
And you were Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought probably about at around 6 or 7 days, I was like, mate, because I was back, I think we both did like around a week off work.
Yeah.
Off work. And when I came back to work, I was like, probably could do something. And I was like, don't want to, don't feel like it. So I'm not going to.
Yeah.
There's no point. And also, I probably could have came back to work a couple of days earlier too, but to me that would be irresponsible because I don't want to make everyone else sick.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important note on this as well is, I guess this whole, you're going to get the gist of what we're talking about here pretty fast, but it's don't be a hero when you're sick basically. But yeah, to start with, like, when you're sick, no one wants to see you anyway because no one else wants to get sick.
Yeah,
so 100%. I think that's a important note to put in there. Don't come in when you're sick.
And you're not missing much. Like, I know it feels like it because
you're doing nothing
you've
but
got
laying.
Nothing else to do. So it feels like missing this is missing, I don't know, the most important thing in the world at the time. But your body, when you're sick, is so stressed already. Like, it's working so hard to fight off whatever.
You had no appetite. I was starving.
Yeah, interesting.
I was hungry, hungry hippo, and I ate like one as well.
And I'm still quite like yuck. Like, I just don't feel like eating.
Appetite.
Yeah, a bit yucky. Yeah, so your body's fighting it off. You're probably not eating like you were. You're probably, you know, just everything's not working. And then you're going and adding another level of stress on that because training is a stressor. It's a good stressor, but it's still, your body recognizes it as stress. So you're just overworking a system that is already at its capacity. And if you're not well, you're just making it worse.
Absolutely.
Like, so much worse.
Think of it like that, you know, like the cup being, you know, tipped over. That's what that would be if you put training on top of already being sick. And like you said, your body's under so much stress already. So it wouldn't be a good stress. It would be much worse.
Yeah.
It would make things very bad.
How much time, we've not even talked about this. I don't even know what you say to people. What do you recommend when someone has been sick in the gym and they want to come back? Do you give them guidelines? Do you give them something?
I normally say when you feel well and you can drive, go to work, give it a couple extra days.
Yeah.
So feel well. Not fit, not fighting fit, but feel well enough to do your day-to-day life and duties and not need to have that like rest in the middle of the day, or you feel like you're out of breath after talking, or just, you know, how you get that real bad fatigue feeling. If you're a stay-at-home mum, you've gotten the kids ready, you've dropped them off at school, and then that's when you normally go to the gym, but you are trashed. You're not ready. If you feel like you've got energy, do that for a couple of days before you come back. That's normally what I say.
Yeah. And I use my Whoop data quite a lot this time. And I was like, I want to be in the green for like 3 good days and feel good at the end of it. And that was when I started training again.
And you do, like, we both missed it and we both wanted to get back into it. But at the same time, my brain, like, remember I had to do, we pay monthly here. Remember I had to do pays.
I messaged the girls. I was dying on the couch. I was like, I can't do this.
No. Yeah. So Candace couldn't do a timesheet.
Yeah.
And I literally couldn't brain.
Couldn't brain.
So I messaged the girls. I was like, guys, I'm so sorry. I can't pay you today. Like, I'm going to need a day. So if you're like, if you want to get back in the gym because you want to keep striving for your goals and that's the driver, but you physically and mentally are exhausted when you're sick, that's not the time to start back.
Yeah, because you're just going to dig yourself into a bigger hole.
Mm-hmm. And you can talk first hand to that last year.
Yeah, last year after I got COVID, not whatever it was after Torian last year.
It was probably before Torian that's the CrossFit fittest Candace has ever been. She was very, very focused.
Yeah.
She was training very, very hard and she was probably a bit blindsided by the sickness and then just wanted to get back into training.
Yeah, I was so missed out on semis by a little bit and then we competed as a team at Torian, which was awesome. We did pretty well. Yeah. And I was like, fucking let's go. Like I've got another year to get back here again. And yeah, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I think I was off work for about 10 days. It was such a long time.
And I remember the first, because you have not had a sick day before then. I don't think at all.
Day, no.
And I remember you messaging and I was like, mate, we're fine.
My voice was just like, I think I'm going to be fine to come back to work tomorrow.
I was like, the place will not burn down without you. Like, do you remember that I actually owned this before you started? Like, it's going to be okay. And she was like, oh, okay. And then she soon realized 3 or 4 days in, okay, fuck that. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with it.
And then I started, so I had those 2 weeks off training and then I came back and just tried to do some light stuff. I went for a couple of walks, but I definitely got back into intensity too soon and I was still sick butterfly in September. So I was just getting sickness after sickness after sickness for about 3 months.
It was wild.
It was the fucking worst. I've never felt so bad in my whole life. And to go from being so fit to being out of breath, having a conversation, like it was the worst.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Don't do it.
Do it.
And she learned and I learned off that as well, like watching that. It's not a good time.
Mm-mm.
And the gains you feel like you're missing out on are not what you think. They're not there. Like what you think you've lost is not what you've actually lost. You still just actually feel like shit.
Yeah.
So when you come back too soon, you can't perform the way you can when you're well. It's not going to be the same.
It's not like all your fitness has just walked out the door.
It's not how it works.
No.
And also, I get frustrated that people think that they have to eat less when they're sick. Don't eat less.
You need to eat more probably. Yes. Your body's, like I said before, working so hard.
They think because they're not training that they need to consume less calories. Yeah. But there's not that much in like the training calories. It's not as much as you think.
Mm-mm.
So it's not going to make a huge difference if you haven't trained and you eat the same or more for a couple of weeks. It's not going to make a big difference.
And you're not magically going to get fat. Like it doesn't work like that that quickly. You're and not just magically going to get fat.
Can we like not weigh about. Yourself? Like
yeah. Don't do that.
Don't look to punish yourself as well. Like don't weigh yourself on first sick day and then go, oh, I'm 2 weeks in. How fat am I now? Like don't – like there's no point. What are you trying to prove? It doesn't make sense. You might gain a couple of kilos, but it's not going to be there for very – like it's not what you think it is. You don't gain fat like that. That's not how it works.
Yeah, and when you're coming back to training as well, like you said, like all your gains don't just disappear. I think we say the same thing. It takes double the amount of time that you're off to feel good again in the gym. So if you took 5 training days off, it's going to take you double that. So 10 training days to feel good again. This is when you're well and come back to the gym. So I've had a month now of like being not well. I'm not expecting to feel good in the gym for another 4 to 6 weeks probably.
And she's not going to punish herself for that.
No.
She's not going to.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah. Like the worst thing you could do is push yourself harder than you normally do just to try and catch up to where you were.
Mm.
Like this is a forever thing. You don't have to race. Like it's not a, you know, there's not a finish line. Like you don't have to get magically back to where you were. It's just pull back, take it easier. And just, you know, when you first get back into it, intensity should be quite low.
Yeah. And it's that now's the time to double down on the other stuff that helps you recover, like sleeping a little bit more, making sure you're drinking enough water, eating enough food, stretching, like get out in the sunshine, do all those things more than training and you will get better faster.
And we started with a couple of walks. That was fun.
We nearly quit the gym. I was like, I could get around this life walking down Mooloolaba every day in the sunshine.
Hot girl walks.
Middle of the day.
Best.
It was great.
Very kicky today, aren't you?
Just kicked that twice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. Love a good walk in the middle of the day.
So do more of that if you've not been well.
And it's okay if you're not where you were straight away. I say the same thing for holidays. So if you go away for a month and you're not sick, but you just have and you don't train, let's say you go to Italy and you eat all the pizza and drink all the wine and you're away for a month, it's going to take you a solid couple of months before you feel back to where you were.
Yeah.
In quotation marks.
And that's okay. Like you said, there's no finish line to this stuff. It's not like you have to be at a certain point by a certain date. It's just life as ebbs and flows with all this.
Yeah. Same with let's just pile on. Right, same with postpartum.
Yes.
Like, don't be in a hurry to get back to where you were, because you're not going to get there any faster than you think. And yeah. Now is the time, yes, get back into routine, get back into training, do what you can do comfortably and all those kinds of things. But the weights you were lifting, the toes to bar you were doing, the burpees, all of those things, they're not going to feel the same for a long time, and that's okay.
It's absolutely okay. Your body has been through
a lot,
like the most it'll ever go through. Yeah. And you have to respect that and be okay with it being a bit slow.
And that was, like, I still remember after I had Callie, that was the first time I gave myself opportunity to pull back and focus more on the technique side of things more than ever. That was the goal, was I wanted to move better with all of the gymnastics and all the weightlifting. That was my main focus.
It's a good time to, like, double down on that stuff, because you can't do anything else. You can't go any heavier or any faster. No. So you may as well be like, right, this is the time to fix this problem that's been there with my snatching or my whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity.
Yeah. So sickness, travel, postpartum, whatever it is, you've had time off for whatever reason, why the hurry, man? Chill. It's okay.
It's all good.
Sick
health. I guess injury is another thing that we talk about, like, in this same kind of ballpark. When you're injured, we still want you to come to the gym.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of new members the last month or so. And unfortunately, being injured when you're training is inevitable. It's going to happen to everyone. Doesn't mean the training.
Some people are very scared, and that's their main goal, is to never get injured.
You're going to get injured.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what you do. Mm. If you don't train or you train, you're going to get hurt as a human being on this fucking planet.
Yeah.
Something's going to hurt you. You could stub your toe. You could get hit by a car.
Yeah.
But training is going to make you more well-equipped to deal with that injury.
Absolutely.
So for people who don't train because of fear of injury, you're very silly.
Dumb. I'm sorry. No, you're totally fine. Come to the gym.
Injury. That's come to the gym if you're injured.
There's so much that we can do to keep you training and moving through that time. And like we said, with the sickness, it's a good opportunity to work on other things.
Absolutely. And a lot of the time, I know we say the same thing with this one as well. If you're injured or in pain or whatever you want to call it, you've got a niggle, but you can drive, you can go to work, come to the gym.
Yeah.
Some people that have been injured here before have broken bones and can't drive and they still come to the gym.
We've picked a few up in our time.
Absolutely. So we're very passionate about this being a big part of your life, regardless of what's going on in life, for so many other reasons than just the gains, the fitness gains. It's also so much for the mental health side. And when you're injured or in pain, we know how important that is to take care of. So if you're in pain or have an injury, firstly, you should probably see someone about that if it's ongoing.
But we need to make sure you're seeing someone who is supportive of that. Like, we need someone who's on the same page as what we're trying to do here, and to keep people moving and to keep them healthy and not demonize any types of exercise, because at the end of the day, like, movement is good for you and it's what Absolutely. Our body is designed to do.
And unfortunately, a lot of health professionals out there will just tell people to stop going to the gym.
Yes, without even ever checking what they're doing at the gym or
what we're capable of or anything like that. And a lot of the time, unfortunately, it's because those health professionals don't attend a gym themselves.
Correct.
So they don't believe in something that they don't do themselves. So where do people start? with finding out where to go to if they've got a niggle, or that's like a ongoing niggle, injury, whatever. Where do we start?
Come and talk to me. I've got a physio who is a very great friend of mine who I worked with for a couple of years who is on the coast, and I send everyone to her and she's so supportive of...
What about for listeners who don't come to our gym?
Yeah, I would find a physio who, like, ideally who does CrossFit. That would be perfect. But someone who is interested in gym related injuries, because if they are, they're going to understand that you can keep training, and that's really important.
And that it's a priority to you if they're someone who does it as well.
Yeah.
And why do you say physio?
Look, I guess it's just what I know.
Yeah.
Threw
you under the bus there. Why physio, Candace?
And it's really important that you're seeing someone who is not just a hands-on person, like who's not just going to give you passive treatment. It's really important that you're...
Explain passive treatment.
Something where you don't have to do anything. So you're just like laying on a table and getting adjusted, or you're just laying on a table getting massaged. Like, there's no good evidence scientifically that is going to help you long term. The best evidence we have is active participation in your rehab. So that's getting exercises, focusing on getting stronger, and continuing to train at the gym.
And you'll see the people that we have here that have injuries that have been to this physio that Candace refers people to. You see during different parts of the class, if there's like a skill piece and they can't do that, if they've hurt their shoulder and it's got something to do with all overhead pressing, we will then be like, hey, go do your rehab exercises. Mm. So it's a good opportunity, because rehab exercises are not fun.
Yeah, fucking boring.
In any way. So it's good if you're in an environment, because a lot of the time people who don't train and then they hurt themselves, they have to do their rehab exercises at home. But we all know how hard it is to train at home. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to do something at home that's also not fun and puts you in a little bit of discomfort. Like, it's like the last thing you want to do. And I know when you worked as a general physio, that was like no one did their exercises. No one ever does it. So if you can be in an environment where you are already uncomfortable and moving, then that's going to tell your brain it's okay to do a little bit more.
Almost like forced as well. Like, we're like, okay, you got 10 minutes now while these guys do this. I want you to go do your rehab and come back for part two or whatever.
Yeah.
It's forced. So yeah, I think find someone who is going to help you actively participate in your rehab, not just passive. Passive has its place, but it's not going to fix you long term.
It feels nice in the moment.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be the thing that cures the problem
for
most people, unfortunately. It'd be nice if it was.
Mm.
And then talking to your coaches, because they need to know what's going on so they can scale for you, because we can't help if we don't know.
Mm.
But we can help a lot when we do know.
Absolutely.
It's like, if your arms, you can't use your arms, cool, we'll double down on leg stuff. If you can't use your legs, we'll do more midline and more prep. You know, we'll just find a different way to do the things that you need to do.
Yeah. We've got several members at the moment that have a range of different injuries for various reasons, not just all from the gym. We've got one who's got a shoulder and a knee thing. So she, her upper body and lower body limitations, which makes us get very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else with, including you, with back things. So we have to do this all the time. So you're not a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a different gym and I don't... It's hard for us to know, because we don't know. Hopefully everyone does this well enough that they encourage you to keep training and can modify and scale things to your current ability, because that's important.
Yeah, and worst case scenario, you get really fit on the bike while you're recovering.
Really? And that's like, we've talked about this way back. Remember Brent Fikowski when he did something to his leg?
Yeah.
And one of his biggest, this is a games athlete, one of his biggest weaknesses was his strict handstand push-ups. All he did while his leg was in a brace was strict handstand push-ups off his couch.
Yep. And now he's great at that.
Now he's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not always a blessing in disguise, but a lot of the time can get you to focus on something that you sucked at before anyway.
Yeah. And, like, you may as well use that time. It's 6 weeks regardless of whether you use it or not, so you may as well use that time to get good at something else.
Yes.
I was listening to a podcast with Jake Douglas.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's so sweet. In it yesterday, and he was saying, I didn't know this. He was an Ollie weightlifter.
That makes sense.
And qualified for the Commonwealth Championships, I think a couple of years ago. It was in Samoa. But he, my worst fear, subluxed his elbow on a snatch, so missed that competition, and then not long after that did his ACL. So arm injury, leg injury, all he could do was bike. But as a CrossFit athlete, his metabolic conditioning was his weakest point. He was a rugby player, so he was very good at sprints but not good at long stuff. And he was like, that's how I got to where I am now. I got injured and I got forced to double down the stuff that I sucked at.
That's so cool.
I was like, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That he could turn such a shitty thing, like missing out on competing for Australia, into something so positive that he's now going to the CrossFit Games.
Competing for Australia.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Impressive. That's
a very good story. Was,
oh, beautiful.
Jake.
Well, now I love him even more.
Yeah. That's very good.
That's awesome.
Mm.
Hopefully that helps some people around, hopefully being a bit kind to yourself around being sick, being injured, coming back after baby, all of those things.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, there's no rush to get back to where you were or get better than what you were. Just take it as it comes.
Yeah.
Do the best that you can in that time.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, like I said before, there's no time limit on this stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't have your pull up by December this year, it's December next year.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Life's going to tick on by anyway.
Hundo. 100%. What else we got?
What are you doing for training at the moment?
Oh. I was like, there's definitely other stuff we're talking about. CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm. Yep.
You've not been training in classes very much.
I haven't been.
Mm.
It's been a bit lonely, if I'm honest. Mm. I have started with a program called Star Strength.
Is our program not good enough for you anymore?
You. No, the reason I decided to give this a crack is because they are – it fucking works out the way I'm about to say as well. They are very sport-focused.
Yeah.
So they have a big – so there's CrossFit, the – health and fitness.
Which is what we do here.
This is what we do.
Uh-huh.
Which is not saying you can't get better at the sport. You 100% can. And then there, so there's the health and fitness, and then there's also the sport side. And with these guys, they're based down in New South Wales, but they do all over Australia and I'm sure further as well, New Zealand and whatnot. They do programming for people like trying to be athletes, and they mm-hmm. put together teams, they do training camps. So yeah, hoping to get better at the sport, hoping to get on a team somewhere. They'll put teams together.
Haven't had much luck in that department.
I've been trying for a few years now.
It's the downside of having an all girls affiliate, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't have the boys.
No, we don't have enough. The boys. And yeah, the first year we tried, we qualified, I got sick. You still went. That was pretty good, like training with Brad and Jay from
Lullabar.
It was awesome. I loved the lead up. It was really fun.
And then it's so hard. Sorry, I'm interrupting you, but
no, you're fine.
So hard. Then we had a great team, and loved it so much, had the best experience, but four people being on the same page for the same amount of time is very hard.
Absolutely.
So after that, like you got very sick. Brad went and had a baby. Jaden ended up coaching. Like, you know, everyone just kind of had their own life shit going on. Yeah. And we just couldn't keep everyone together.
Yeah.
So it's really hard.
And I absolutely love team. I've always wanted to have a good crack at it. And I just love the logistics side of it. And yeah, I just love the team.
Mm.
Like just relying on each other and not wanting to let anyone down and all that sort of stuff. Like, I think growing up in a bigger family with lots of kids, it just makes you be that way a little bit more.
Yeah.
And this program is absolutely kicking my ass and humbling me daily. And the biggest thing I've noticed for me is they put together my weaknesses like in the same workout, which a lot of the time, again, like with the health side of thing, that could be probably considered a little bit more risky, dangerous, yeah, whatever you want to call it. But when you put two conflicting movements together, you're going to expose things a lot sooner.
Rarely in our general gym programming, because we're health and fitness focused, we wouldn't put two like movement patterns together that would cause a huge redundancy. So we wouldn't put like strict handstand push-ups and push-ups together, for example, because it's going to fall apart and create a lot of shoulder pressing issues. But in the sport of CrossFit, those rules don't apply and you have to be good at everything with everything.
Exactly.
So it's putting more of that stuff together, which we wouldn't see in a, I yes. would never put into a class program because I want people to come back.
Yes, exactly.
So it's just different.
And like, you know how much I had reservations about doing this because I'm a huge believer in following the program that you teach. Mm. But for me right now, this is something that I want to pursue for me personally, and that's having a crack at the sport. And it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's some of the sessions like are like boring.
Yeah.
Like they're really long cardio sessions. And some of them, like I just said, all my weaknesses combined, and it's lonely.
Mm.
And I like training with people. So it's really good for me personally after doing this for so many years, just to have a crack at.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What about you? What are you doing?
Oh, lots of glute bridges and things. No, my back is, it's getting better, which is good. So I've been working with a coach over in the States. So he's a physio and he is a CrossFit coach. So
found a unicorn
after many late nights of pondering life. So he works at Training Think Tank for anyone who follows them. And yeah, I'm just working on getting this back better.
Yeah.
So lots of fucking boring.
Yeah.
No offense, Kyle, but boring. Rehab, very boring. Repetitive.
Sometimes I just, like, it's never good to hear this in the moment when someone says something like this, but people are given challenges and they either rise to the occasion or they don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time I believe that you're not given a challenge that you can't handle.
Yeah.
Like the challenge you've been thrown, fuck man, there's not many people that could handle the rehab like you handle.
Probably last week, and it's been very like two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. Like I get better and then I'll do something that's like a little bit too much, which is fine. Cause we're trying to push the envelope and figure out where I'm at, and it'll put me back in a hole for a couple of days. And I'm like, maybe I should just quit. Like maybe I should just stop. And I'm like, no, this is where the good shit comes from. Like mm-hmm. people would quit
yeah.
in this situation, but I'm not going to let it.
I just got goosebumps. Oh, that's good. It's strong. But yeah, I watch her do her rehab and I think my sessions are boring. And I look at that and I'm like, I'm fucking.
Oh, she's over there again.
I'm in Disneyland right now compared to her. Because, yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. But it's, yeah.
But you're going to be so fucking strong.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I feel good. Like when the back is good, it feels good. This week that I've got to lift from the floor in the same session. So I got to do, Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Snatches and clean and jerks together from the floor. Like I've not done that for 7 months now. So.
And this is why.
It's very exciting.
Like for you as an aspiring CrossFit athlete and a national level weightlifter, you haven't lifted from the floor for 7 months.
Mm-mm.
And then that's like, this is such a huge part of your life.
Mm.
I get a bit cranky when people aren't willing to do that for not like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm it's like, pretty frustrating.
Yeah. It's just like, guys, like you don't have to lift. Like you, for your sport, you have to lift from the floor and you haven't done that for 7 months and you finally got to do that. And you don't complain.
Mm.
You just get on just with a little it. Bit. Just cries in the shower. Cries in bed when no one else is around. Whereas when I'm having a bad time, I'm like, this session fucking sucks. I'm bored. Yeah.
But
so,
like we were saying before, you don't lose all of your gains. Like we're talking about sickness. You're going to be sick for a couple of weeks, maybe a month. Like you're not going to lose all your gains. I haven't. Like I did a jerk test probably about 6 weeks ago and I can still jerk 100 kilos and I haven't jerked for months. So it doesn't all just disappear. It's all in there. It just takes a little while to unlock that door again, you know?
Absolutely.
But don't feel like if you're injured or sick or whatever, that it's all just disappearing because you're not training. It definitely is not. It just takes a little while to get back to it again.
Yep.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Doing some rehab.
Mm, but I've been doing like a little bit of CrossFit stuff too, which is exciting, like some war balls and some burpees. So that's pretty cool.
That is exciting. Mm. So what's the goal now? What's just keep getting better?
Yeah, I don't have, I'm not going to push it.
Just one week at a time.
Yeah. One day at a time. Just, I'd love to say I'll be back lifting properly by the end of the year. Like I'd love to post a total to start the qualifying process for next year by the end of the year. But if I don't do that this year, it'll be next year.
Yep.
Don't put any pressure on it, I guess. Yeah.
And yeah, and that was a slow lesson for you, you to have to learn as well, I think. Like you were hungry, which I don't blame you. You achieved national level in 3 competitions. So I don't blame you for wanting more fast. But yeah, that was a lesson that had to be learned.
Hard lesson, yeah. It's fucking such a dummy. I was telling you the other day when it was – my back was at its worst around Australia Day, and I remember the weekend because I was a fucking miserable shit at home. Josh was like, what is wrong with you? And I booked in with a sports doctor. I tried to book in with a sports doctor. So this was January and I called them and they were like, we're booked out till May, the end of May. I can book you in. And I was like, oh, no, I won't need it then. I'll be fine. It's July. Should have kept the appointment. What an idiot.
Live and learn.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah, I think for me as a coach, I don't push that with you because you know more. You're a physio. Mm. So I always just thought you knew more, but you're a fucking dummy when it comes to yourself, aren't you? Like she I don't know. I think you're just like, oh, well, I'm experiencing this pain, so I'll be right.
Yeah.
It wasn't right. It
wasn't right. Should have listened.
Very funny.
An idiot.
What else? That it?
What time are we up to? I've got so many things I can talk about.
41 minutes.
Ooh.
What else you got?
One more thing.
Okay.
We'll throw it in. It's an extra long one.
Ooh.
You need to be coached. I guess this kind of backs onto what we're saying. We're both looking to achieve things, whether it be in the health and fitness realm or the sport realm. You need to be coached. You're not going to get where you want to be by yourself.
Mm.
And if you're a member of this gym or a member of a CrossFit gym anywhere, you should be seeking out coaching often.
Yep. We are staff members of a CrossFit gym and we both have coaches. Mm-hmm. We both have people looking over our shoulders and making sure we're doing shit properly, improving things. And if you are a member of a CrossFit and you spend more time doing outside of class things, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
100%. Like you are not above the class session. I don't care how good you think you are or how good you are. You're not above it.
Mm.
You can be better and you can get better from having someone see what you do, try and correct. And if you don't listen, that's the personal shit you'll have to work on. Like I saw something last night, I think somewhere. It's a skill in itself learning to be coached.
Oh, I like it. Because it is. It's like you have to take away that immediate reaction you have to it. Of like a personal attack.
The ego. You have to be able to like drop your ego, not make an excuse. When like our goal, when we take a class, it's our actual job, it's written in our job description, is to coach every single person in that session.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal every single class is to make sure we tell you something that you can take away and get better with.
We're trying to find something you're not doing well and make it better. So we're nitpicking sometimes to find that one thing so we can give you something.
Yeah. It's not an attack.
No. And for you to get better at CrossFit or at life, you need to learn how to take feedback and apply it and make those changes. And if you're not getting that because you're training outside of class times or you're doing your own thing or you're making up your own programming to get out of that, you need to have a really hard look at why you're going to a CrossFit gym and what you actually want out of it.
Absolutely.
I think. Because we should all be striving to be better in all of the ways, all of the time.
Yep. And that's not going to be there from working in open gym, doing, I don't know, whatever your weakness is, toes to bar. Let's say you're practicing toes to bar 3 times a week and you pick one session. You do 3 classes and then you do 4 extras. No.
Do 6 classes.
Do 6 classes, man.
Let us get our eyeballs on you more often because that is going to make you so much better than if you were training on your own and not having anyone watch you.
Yep.
Because we know more than you do.
Yeah.
We've studied this for a very long time.
That's it. And if we don't know how to help you, we'll find out.
Mm.
and you're not going to get better at toes to bar.
That's three times.
You're not going to get better at toes to bar by doing shitty toes to bar over and over again by yourself.
Yeah. And same goes for anything like lifting, pull-ups, squatting, shitty reps over and over again are not going to make your reps look any better. And that's what we help with. We try to get rid of the shit so you can get better.
Yeah. And sometimes it does feel like going backwards because we do pull you back from maybe a complete RX movement, if that's what you want to call it. Sometimes we'll pull you back from that and get you to work on things that would be technically a scaling option, but that's going to get you to where you want to be. Not necessarily faster, but it's going to make you better at that thing, make you more efficient at that thing, make you be able to do more at that thing.
Yep.
So would you say we're saying prioritize class over other things outside of class?
This came from we're running a coaching development program at the moment, and this was one of the questions that got posted in the Facebook group, and I was like, fuck, that's a good question. I'd love to talk about that a bit more. So yes, I think class is where the good stuff happens.
Yep.
If you have a choice between class and something else,
yep,
pick class. Always. Yeah. Always come to class.
Always.
And then extra stuff, if you get extra time, it's like bonus points.
Yeah.
But class is like the meat of the sandwich.
Yeah. And like just the other day, like there's things in class, like especially with, we always harp on about CrossFit affiliate programming that we follow. But just the other day, there was so – let's even talk about yesterday. The workout was two movements for 12 minutes over and over again. It was an AMRAP of dumbbell snatches and burpee box jump overs. And that workout took 12 minutes. There was a five-minute finisher. So what's that, 17 minutes in total? We filled the entire hour with so many skills and drills to get you better. We talked about how to cycle your dumbbell snatches to make sure your back doesn't blow up because there's a huge redundancy between the burpee box jump overs and the dumbbell snatches. And we taught them how to move better. We taught them how to...
like different footwork options for your burpee box jump overs.
Get closer to the box, how to get over the box, how to skip over the box, all of those things. We also did in the warm-up a dumbbell complex that you probably won't ever do just on your own randomly. And that was in the warm-up. But like the effort put towards all of those skills, drills, warm-up moves, the words that we say in those moments, that's the magic.
Yeah.
That's where shit will change for you in fitness.
Yeah. Agreed.
Is that it?
I think that's it. I think we nailed it.
I think that's good. I think we've finished up there. Do you have a question?
No.
Okay. Why are you yelling at me with your eyes?
Because I forgot.
The question?
Yeah, like forgot to do that.
Oh, okay. Did you coach today?
Yes.
Is the question. Why are you still yelling at me with your eyes?
Question today. That's not very exciting. Oh. Well, that's probably not exciting just for two people to talk about.
Oh, okay. We don't have to talk about that one. What was yesterday's?
Worst hairstyle you've ever had.
I still want to find it. You go first.
I've had blonde hair before.
It's dumb.
So dumb.
Why did you do that? How old were you?
I don't even know. I would have been
told my two afternoon classes yesterday. I was like, guys, Candice had blonde hair.
So bad. My sister was a hairdresser and she started hairdressing quite young. I think, I don't even know. I reckon she finished grade 9 and went straight
into hairdressing. I don't imagine Demi ever being a hairdresser. Oh, I know she is.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so she was quite young, which meant I was quite young as well. So I used to spend all of my afternoons at the salon with her after school. I don't know why they let me hang out there, but everything she had to practice, she practiced.
Rude.
Yeah. It was great. Like I loved it, but.
Except for that one blonde. Did you say blonde for a while? How old were you?
I think I would have been maybe like 16 or 17.
Yes, you were. Yeah. Hottie.
I have the darkest hair. Like, I don't even know how she got me blonde. It would have been hours and hours and
so
hours.
So it was in one sitting as well?
I can't even remember, to be honest.
Mind blowing.
It's bad.
I had tiger stripes.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I did.
I think we all did at some stage.
I was like, well, no, because I told my classes and they all laughed at me. Oh. They didn't have it. I had three foils on each side that were like maybe
3 centimeters wide each.
Yeah. And I was going to say an inch each, like an inch thick natural blonde hair. And the first thing I chose to do when I was about 13 was three thick red foils.
Are we talking red or like copper red?
I I don't remember. I feel like it was like a copper red.
So good.
I think. So that was an experience. Mm. I want to find a photo. I'll see if Donna has one.
I feel like mums of girls particularly, it's like a rite of passage the first time a girl wants to like dye her hair.
Mm.
And it must be such a cringy thing for the mum to go through and be like, this is going to be fucking terrible.
There was lots of girls in the class yesterday that said their mums encouraged them to like have these weird bobs and really? Stuff. Why did you do that to your poor daughter?
Maybe this will be you in a couple of years. We'll see what Callie ends up with.
Yeah. Tell her to shave half her head. See if she'll do it. Doubt it.
Oh, dear.
Cool.
Cool beans.
Anything else?
I think that's everything.
Yeah. Nutrition seminar?
Yeah, tomorrow night. Seminar number 2.
You got a few more extras. Coming along to that.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Contessa Games. 3 weeks.
Coming up.
It is. We're about to talk about the programming after this.
Very excited.
It's very good.
All right, we better go do that.
Okay.
Farewell.
Bye.